you're going to do paintings that you hate. I have a couple paintings that I've gessoed over and just started over, and I was so glad I did because I ended up painting something completely different and was in love with it. So yeah, that process, yeah, just keep moving forward and don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about things being perfect and, you know, get out of your comfort zone and try new things.
Welcome to the Passionate Painter Podcast. I'm your host, Caroline Italia Carlson. Whether your art is a full-time career or your side gig, if you are passionate about creating art, this podcast is for you. Don't worry about taking notes. I'll do that for you. And you can find them at PassionatePainterPodcast.com. Welcome back. Today, I have the pleasure of sharing my interview with American painter Amy Peterman. Amy and I met at the 2022 Waterfront Arts Festival up here in Escanaba on the lovely Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I was honored to be asked to judge the paintings at the festival this year, where many talented artists exhibited and sold their work. I discovered Amy was a kindred spirit, having a professional background in graphic design and now working freelance for a living while working on her paintings, just like me. We were also both raised by craftsman parents who worked with furniture, glass, and fabric. We both gave up studying a string instrument in high school to spend more time in art and enjoyed exposure to a wide range of techniques before college. We're practically twins. If Amy told me she'd also gone on a secret mission to rescue a chicken in her freshman year at university, I definitely would have been creeped out. Amy's impressionistic landscapes are captivating, with strong compositions and fearless brushwork. I was struck by just how many paintings she had on display, in addition to prints of her paintings, and each one was more beautiful than the next. I was grateful the artists are required to select which painting will be considered for best in show, as I never would have been able to pick one from the others. It was clear Amy has an unflagging commitment to make her art despite any obstacles or demands on her time. She's prolific, professional, and organized. She was also warm, friendly, and happy to talk to visitors about her art and what interested them about her paintings or anything else. And on top of all that, she was strikingly humble. She was simply a joy. I was truly inspired, and I knew you would love to hear from her. Needless to say, Amy took the prize that day, and I can confirm she deserved it. She has since become a good friend and agreed to come on the show. The interview is full of great information and encouragement, including Amy's background, her process, making time for her art, her biggest challenge as an artist, and so much more. Our conversation ran to an hour, so I've broken it into two episodes for your convenience. Part two is available now at PassionatePainterPodcast.com/episode 84. I'm happy to announce, as promised, in addition to my full master class, The Portrait Code, 7 new Spotlight courses are now available for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. I've had requests for those who only want the targeted training to pull these out of the masterclass so that they can be available individually if desired. As always, they're available at incredible prices because I want them to be accessible. You can check them out and see course content by going to PassionatePainterAcademy.com. For as long as she can remember, Amy Peterman has always had a love for art. As a child, she would happily spend hours in her bedroom making art on the floor or at the old drafting table her dad gave her. The anticipation she would get opening a new box of crayons or set of paints was, and still is, hard to contain. Amy remembers feeling like a real artist when she won the school carnival poster contest in 5th grade. She drew a carousel horse complete with 3D tissue paper flowers. When she realized she would get to take multiple art classes her senior year of high school, and then get to study art in college the following year, she couldn't stop talking about it. When Amy chose to major in art studio, She was thrilled to get to try so many different art mediums and be taught by some amazing art professors. It was during her college studies that she fell in love with graphic design, painting, printmaking, and art history. Since college, Amy has continued on her creative journey. She's been a freelance graphic artist for over 20 years and has recently fallen back in love with painting. Amy often wonders why it took her so long to return to painting and feels like a piece of her that was missing for a long time has returned. Residing in Petoskey, Michigan, with her family, Amy is inspired by the natural beauty that surrounds her. Her acrylic paintings illustrate elements that capture a familiar feeling. That feeling you get when you look up at a tall tamarack and are transported back in time. That feeling of peace at the first heavy snow when all is calm and quiet. That feeling of joy that comes over you at the sight of an expressive sky or an expansive field. Sharing those feelings through her art is Amy's greatest joy. Amy, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, I was really happy to meet you at the Waterfront Festival.
Yeah, I loved meeting you. And I felt like we connected right away.
Yeah, we definitely did. Kindred Spirit, another digital designer who's also a painter.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'd like to tell the audience and congratulate Amy that she took Best of Show at the Waterfront Festival. Her work is phenomenal. I can't wait for you all to see it. Check it out in the show notes at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode 83. So let's start us off with, tell me about what your career looks like today, and then backtrack for me and summarize how you got to this point.
Okay, well, I think I would consider myself an emerging artist, specializing in landscapes, and I've been exploring the beauty of Northern Michigan in my landscapes. I recently returned to painting after a long hiatus, but COVID allowed me to kind of get back into it again. And I really just kind of dove headfirst into it. So I'm back and I love it. And I've always loved art since I was very young. I was always creative. I had parents that were very creative. My dad is a craftsman, a home builder. And I remember him dabbling in photography and stained glass. He made these beautiful little stained glass lamps for my brother and I for our rooms. My mom, she is a hand dye fiber artist. So she hand dyes wool fiber and she's a beautiful knitter. Growing up, she was a quilter and she made baskets. And I know when she was younger, she painted as well. So I was really blessed to have parents that had those creative genes and instilled that in me and encouraged me along the way. My parents were always really good to expose me to things, to museums, or I grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And if you're familiar with Grand Rapids, it's like, I think they call it the furniture city. And Frank Lloyd Wright built several homes there. And so I remember touring Frank Lloyd Wright homes and just the exposure that I got was really great growing up. So I definitely think that they kind of formed who I am as an artist. In middle school and high school, I was very blessed to be in a school system that actually had really great opportunities for electives. And so I was totally enjoyed the art classes, but I was also in orchestra. I played violin, but I chose to give up orchestra a couple school years just so that I could take more art classes. My high school years, I was very blessed. We had ceramics class. We had a jewelry making class. So that was really great that I got exposed to several different mediums there. I was also really blessed to be able to take a Saturday morning art class with a local artist. Her name was Darlene Nelson. I would get up on Saturday mornings and take private lessons from her in her home studio. And I think if you know any teenager, Saturday mornings are for sleeping in till like 1 p.m. But I loved art so much. I didn't care. I wanted to get up and do that on Saturday mornings. So that was pretty cool. After high school, I went off to college. I attended Indiana Wesleyan University and studied art studio. They didn't have a graphic design program at the time. That's what I wanted to do, but I was able to focus in that area. But being that I was in art studio, again, I was exposed to so many different mediums. And I feel that really helped me be well-rounded as an artist. Ceramics, stained glass, painting, drawing, printmaking. I got to try all of it. And it was really, really amazing. Had really amazing professors. One of my professors I still keep in touch with, my painting professor, actually, his name's Brad Crossman. I just can't believe I got to have him as a professor. If you look him up, he's amazing. And he follows me on Instagram now. And every once in a while, if he makes a comment on my work, I just die. it just gives me such good feelings that he still cares what I'm doing. And it feels like a major honor for him to comment on anything that I do. So while I was in college, I focused on graphic design. And that's what I ended up going into after college. I kind of went that direction. I loved it. But at the time, I kind of thought, well, that's what's going to make money. I've learned now that it's possible to make money doing paintings, too. But when I look back at college, my senior year, it was all painting. So that was definitely my first love. So I'm so thankful to be back at it again. So after college, I got married and started my graphic design career and continued to paint for a little while. But I don't know, life just kind of, I just ended up kind of pushing it aside for a while and just didn't prioritize it. Graphic design just came first because that's how I was making money. But it was okay. It was okay. It's all, I think, part of my journey, part of how I ended up here today, too. So probably about 7 years ago, it was before we moved back to Petoskey, I started dabbling in painting again. And just little bits here and there. But I think that was kind of the beginning of like kind of finding myself again. So after we moved to Petoskey, we've been in Petoskey for about 6 years now, I just started to have this like stirring in me. And I think that was God. And I think, you know, he brought us to this beautiful place. And I started to feel very inspired by what I saw around me. And it was bringing me so much joy that I just wanted to paint it. So in 2020, when the lockdowns happened, for COVID, I decided I was going to try painting again. And I took some classes on Skillshare and was like, yeah, I'm back. Like, this is who I am. It just felt like that there was a hole inside of me that was filled again. So anyway, I took those classes just to kind of like refresh my memory on the process of painting and some techniques that I had kind of forgotten. And so shortly after taking those classes, I was coming up on my 45th birthday, and I decided to make a list of 45 things I wanted to do in my 45th year. And one of those things was to see where my art business went and to start an Instagram account that was devoted to only my art. And so I actually started that Instagram account on my 45th birthday, and it just took off. Like, I got so much feedback and encouragement from family and friends. And by that fall, I started a website. And I launched, I think it was like in November, I launched my first collection of very small paintings. And I think I sold like half of them within the first few days. So it was
wow.
God telling me, you're supposed to be doing this. And I haven't looked back.
How did you get traffic on your website?
I have an email list. And I started my email list by just texting as many friends as I could think of. And, hey, can I add you to my email list? And if you know of anybody, can you let them know about my Instagram? And, you know, and if they want to be on my email list too, that'd be great. So, and then I was a part of a collective group for artists. And I think I had a lot of followers, fellow artists that followed as well. So yeah, a lot of those first purchases were family and friends. And so I just got a lot of encouragement from them, and they were kind of like, you know, you should do an art fair. You should, you know, see what you can do. And so it just kind of took off from there. So
now, did you know, my listeners are going to be wondering, the family and friends then, did you give them all discounts or did they pay regular price?
No, I didn't discount anything.
Good for you.
No, you know, my prices were lower, and I knew going into that, like, I'm going to price them a little lower because I'm brand new to this and I want to see, you know, where it goes. And now I'm learning a little bit more about pricing and how you need to be able to make money to be sustainable. So, but yeah, that's kind of how it all started.
Do you have a particular approach for pricing?
I do. I'm still working on it. I price my work by like square inch, and I kind of have a few different price brackets. My price per square inch is a little bit higher for smaller pieces. And then as they get larger, the price goes down a little bit. Cause I was thinking about it the other day. It's almost kind of like, I guess I'm kind of pricing that way so that the larger pieces are maybe just a little bit more attainable. And it's kind of like when you buy in bulk, not that I want to compare art to buying in bulk, but yeah. And I think, you know, some of those little pieces can take just as much time as the medium-sized pieces.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, that is really encouraging and inspiring too, because, I mean, you just got out there and then bam.
Yeah. Yeah.
So tell me how you make time for your art, since you, like me, also have a digital marketing, multimedia, you know, you're doing the digital design thing and you're doing your art.
Yes. Well, as I said, I think you can tell I'm a list maker.
My people.
So, yeah. And that really helps to kind of plan out my week. And I try to schedule in painting time because I do graphic design as well. I kind of have to do that. I kind of have to schedule it in so that I can make the time for it. Probably right before COVID happened, I feel like we gauge everything by COVID these days, but it was, I read this book. It was called Big Dreams, Daily Joys by Elise Kreit. And she's very much a list maker and a goal setter, and she gets things done. And she really inspired me. And so on her website, she has a printable download. I think it's called the Get to Work book, but it's a downloaded like week at a glance calendar, kind of like a week at a glance where there's all the days of the week and you can, you know, just plan out your week. And it has little spots for putting in your goals for the week. And these are the things that must be done. And these are the things that are maybe on the back burner. So I use those printable sheets, and they help me a ton just to kind of keep things moving and prioritized, I guess. She's very inspiring, and she's a maker, artist, very inspiring. Should look her up.
You paint during the week as well as in larger blocks on the weekends?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sometimes during the week, I can get a larger block. And sometimes those days are usually like, I'm not ready to be done painting. You guys need to figure out dinner. Somebody order pizza, something. I'm in the zone here. I think my family has become a lot more flexible and understanding and gracious too. Now that I've been doing both graphic design and painting, and they've been very encouraging as well and supportive. So yeah.
That is so important, because I do find that during the weekdays, after taking care of clients on days that I have clients, I think about going to my easel, but I'm definitely a painter who needs like 3-4 hours at a time, like a block. And I definitely have relegated that to larger blocks of time, you know, Fridays through Sundays. But it means that on the weekend, a lot of times, I mean, I'm in my studio, and like the summer went by, and I hate to say it, but I had a lot of catching up to do after I released my course. And my husband will go off to camp or whatever for the day.
and we'll just be like, you know, meet you back here at 7 p.m. because I'm painting. So
I know.
It has to come out somewhere. It's really hard.
It is hard. And to balance it, like, with family life and even just for yourself to do other things besides painting, and because that's all good stuff too, because that I think contributes to your inspiration as well. So especially for me, like I got to make time to go hiking or go for a drive and look for, you know, reference photos or go camping. Yeah.
So. For me, I think I've compromised in the sense of not compromised, but the way I balance it, because I like those bigger blocks, is I tend to be nocturnal. So I tend to work kind of later in the day. So I might do my client work from, say, 10 to 6 or 10 to 7. And then I'll stop and I'll go spend the evening with my husband in front of the TV, you know. And I'm not a TV watcher, but to be with him, like, that'll be conscious time where we'll go, okay, let's find a series on Netflix. And then on the weekends, I'll spend the bulk of my daytimes painting. But it's all, like you said, scheduled and intentional.
Yeah.
And the evenings, even on the weekends, it'll be like, okay, we'll do our date at, you know, 7 o'clock or whatever. Like, we make a thing of it so that it's conscious, even if it's not an all day unscheduled relaxation. But those times are important too. Like you said, it's just finding the time to do everything is so challenging.
For sure. And I think, you know, scheduling it as best you can, it's a really good step. It doesn't always work out. Like, there are times where I have it written on my calendar, you know, for the week, you know, a couple days where it's like, I'm going to paint these days. And then sometimes it just doesn't happen. And you have to just keep working at it and like give yourself grace. And that's so, right. Yeah.
What is your process then for taking, say, photos, planning paintings? Do you batch those activities? We're talking about you going out hiking. I know you did your 12 days of barn paintings on Instagram. So I'd like to dig into that and ask you, you know, were you, I believe you were live, right? So was that on your phone? How did you, because I've thought about that, painting live. How did you do all of this? What's your process?
Painting live on Instagram, that was another one of those like, okay, just get out of your comfort zone. This can be fun. And so I kept it very simple. Like, I have one of those, I don't know if you've heard of them, they're canvas lamp.
No.
But it's this, you should link that too. They're beautiful and very functional lamps that you can position in all different ways, and you can have it so it's facing your face and it's got a lighted ring around it. So if you wanted to use it for, you know, photographing yourself or videoing yourself, but you can also point it down at your work, and it holds your phone. So I just set that up on my work surface and had it pointed down on my work surface and just hit the Instagram live button and just started painting.
Okay. And, so it's a ring light.
Yeah. It's like a ring light, but it's got a special little phone clamp.
Yeah.
And it's a beautiful lamp too. It's got a really pretty base to it. And so, So I used that and didn't really do anything special for audio. I'm sure the people that, did hop on and watch, you know, they got a little bit of Peterman household noise in the background. I know I had to shush my dog a few times, shush her out the door. And, but I think that was kind of fun for people too.
I think it is. And I think people like to see those things. I'm still trying to work it out because, well, for one thing, I love to paint with the music on, and I know copyright wise, I can't just play someone else's music on my recordings. So when you're doing this, then you set a time limit for it. Is there a time limit to streaming on Instagram if you're live?
I actually think there might be. I haven't done it in a while. I want to say maybe it's an hour. I did try to keep it to an hour because I was doing it at noon. And so I had like people that were watching on their lunch hour.
So did you keep the paintings to an hour too? Like just quickies?
Yeah, they were just little 6x6s. And sometimes I didn't finish them within that amount of time. Sometimes I would be like, you know what? I think it's close to being done, or I think I still need some work, but I'm gonna live with it for a little bit. And so I'm gonna stop here. And then I would follow up with a photo post or in my stories showing what the final looked like. So it was actually really fun. And I'm so glad I stepped out and tried it, because a lot of people really enjoyed it. And I actually had one person who painted along with me. And then she sent me a message after, and she said, look at what I painted. I painted with you. And it was like, oh my gosh, that's my painting.
That was really cool.
So
did you have your reference up on screen too, or she could just see it from the camera?
I did have my reference. Yeah. And I would talk about the reference, and I would talk about the composition and talk about my process. You know, there were times where I would kind of apologize and say, I'm sorry, I'm not saying much right now. I'm just painting away. And people were like, it's okay. We just love watching.
Good to know.
So yeah, so I tried to just, you know, give as much info as I could, but you know, I think it was fun for them, fun for me too. So I'll definitely do it again.
Now, it sounds like you paint on a flat surface, do you? Or you have a desktop easel?
I have a flat surface. I usually do that for smaller pieces, and then I have a really nice easel for larger pieces. So,
and you take photos in batches, do you? Do you go out on hikes and plan like, okay, this is going to be my day to take photos for 12 barn paintings. I got to go find 12 barns. Photo shoot.
No, I kind of like, so like the first little collection that I did, it was called the Pathways Collection. And I had painted a few reference photos that I had. And I noticed, oh, they each have a little path or something leading you into this scenery. And I thought this would be a really great collection. So I did start kind of then looking for scenery that had paths in it. I didn't go out in one day and shoot them all. I kind of just was on the lookout over a few weeks. One of the other collections I did, it was a very small collection. It was basically all winter scenes. Well, you can see one in the background. Actually, there's a couple of them there. And they were all based off the same photograph. So, and I did 5 paintings off the same photograph, and each one painted, you know, came out a little different. I had a collection called the Open Air Collection. And in that one too, I think I kind of started painting with some reference photos that I had, but then I went out and found more as I was working. So not quite as organized to plan it all out in advance. I like painting with, you know, in the flow and in the moment and what I'm inspired to paint. So
yeah, I understand that. It definitely has to be something that your heart is in at the moment, to kind of let go a little bit. And like you said, just kind of sink into it. So one more question about the Instagram thing. As you can tell, I haven't done live Instagram too much, a little bit. I'm trying to think, when you did your live sessions, say an hour a day, you automatically had it record, right? It records as your live.
It does record it. Yeah, it saves it for you. And I think you can even download it after. Like, I think I was able to download it to my phone after the fact. The live comments don't show up in that when you download it. I don't think they show up in the recording either.
Yeah, because I'm thinking, how did she see the live comments if the phone was angled down?
And that was a little tricky because I did have the phone kind of, you know, I was kind of working around the phone a little bit, but I was able to kind of, you know, do both, kind of look every once in a while and notice when somebody commented and
that's so great.
Yeah.
Well, because I noticed with my class when I was recording the course and the painting demo, my biggest challenge, this was before, like now I have a GoPro, but even then, I was concerned about any distortion. You know, if you don't have the GoPro in a certain setting at a certain distance, you can fisheye. So I actually found that I, at the time, liked the results with my camcorder the best. My iPhone was limiting recordings to, I think it was automatically cutting off every 25 minutes and I'd have to reset it. And so I'm painting for hours. So I would want to paint in like, I think the camcorder was doing half hour segments, but it would be continual. It would just save them in small bites. So there might be 6 videos on it for that session, but it didn't cut me off. But my biggest challenge, of course, was painting around the camera.
Yeah, because that was, I think because they were smaller pieces, it wasn't quite as awkward. But if I ever tried to do something larger on a flat surface, it might be it might be kind of tricky. The other thing I found was a little tricky too, was every once in a while when I would get on right at noon, I'd be like, okay, nobody's watching today. Well, it just wasn't connecting. So I had to start and stop a few times. And so it's just, you know, it's part of technology, the glitches and all that. So
exactly. Yeah. Yep. You have to just, you know, there's some comfort too in the concept of thinking or psyching yourself out by going, nobody's watching anyway, you know, there's nobody there. So it takes the pressure off and then you can have your 5,000 million followers and go, oh, I didn't realize everybody was listening. But it can help. It can help with the stage fright. So what is your biggest challenge as an artist?
Oh, I think, I mean, we talked about this a little bit already, probably balancing doing graphic design and doing painting, just finding a balance, and finding balance with personal life too. And just, I think kind of being new to the world of putting my art out there and selling, that's a challenge too. But, you know, I know there's an art collective that I was in, the artist that was kind of the head over it. Her name was Emily Jeffords. She would always say, progress is quiet and slow. And so I try to remember that, like when I'm feeling challenged by certain things, it's like, okay, it's okay. Things will happen when they need to happen.
Yeah, I think that's a good outlook to have. And just to basically just keep moving forward, you know, and when I get discouraged in any kind of project, if it's design or if it's at my easel, I just, for some reason, the words that work for me are do the work, because it's just show up and think of it in terms of you've got work to do. Just, you know, stop thinking about how the work is going and just do the work. And that helps me to just keep moving my feet.
Yeah. And do the work and know that it doesn't have to be perfect every time. You're going to do paintings that you hate. I have a couple paintings that I've gessoed over and just started over. And I was so glad I did, because I ended up painting something completely different and was in love with it. So yeah, that process, yeah, just keep moving forward and don't worry about it. You know, don't worry about things being perfect and, you know, get out of your comfort zone and try new things.
This wraps up part one of my interview with American painter Amy Peterman. Be sure to listen to part two to hear about where and how Amy sells her art, keeping production costs down, selling her prints, where Amy turns for mentoring, and so much more. It's available now at passionatepainterpodcast.com/episode84. Don't forget that in addition to my full masterclass, The Portrait Code, there are now 7 standalone spotlight classes for targeted training in design, composition, perspective, color theory, and anatomy, as well as a standalone portrait painting demonstration. Something for everyone. You can check them all out at passionatepainteracademy.com. Until next time, go make something.